Speaking again of the eventual results of the Manson family, or at least the dispensation of the remaining parts of it, reading from Helter Skelter by Vincent Bugliosi with Kurt Gentry, which you all know because they made a movie out of it and everything like that, but it's a rather interesting book. And Bugliosi himself has been involved in a bunch of things, as Dave mentioned earlier, not only, of course, his involvement with prosecuting the Charles Manson case, but also with his involvement in the ill-fated but fascinating court case of TV station KCOP versus Jerry Owen that features so prominently in the book The Assassination of John F. Kennedy. Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, excuse me, by Turner and Christian. But this is Helter Skelter, back around again. This is Helter Skelter by Bugliosi and Kurt Gentry, and it's copyright 1974 by Bantam Books in paperback. And he's talking about, as he says, as for the other convicted Manson family killers, Charles Watson, Robert Beausoleil, Steve Grogan, a.k.a. Clem, and Bruce Davis, all are now in the general inmate population. Tex is no longer playing insane and has a girlfriend who visits him regularly. Bobby, who is Robert or Bobby Beausoleil, received a certain amount of national attention when he was interviewed by Truman Capote during a TV documentary on American prisons. Not long afterward, his jaw was broken and his hand dislocated in a brawl in the yard of San Quentin. The fight was the result of a power struggle over the leadership of the Aryan Brotherhood, with which Beausoleil had become affiliated. The Aryan Brotherhood, which is believed responsible for more than a dozen fatal stabbings in various California prisons in the last few years, is the successor to several earlier groups, including a neo-Nazi organization. Its total membership is not known, but it is believed to have about 200 hardcore inmate followers, and it espouses many of the same racial principles that Charles Manson did. The legacy lives on. Well, as we have talked about, the Aryan Brotherhood in the prison is, in fact, more than merely a prison group. Whatever it started out as and whoever started it out, it has now become affiliated with the much larger constellation of neo-Nazi groups in the United States, including the Aryan Nations and groups of that sort. And it's certainly now, from everything that I have read, and I think Dave would agree with me, it's got a lot more than 200 hardcore followers in the prison systems.
Ed Wilson, incidentally, it has now formed sort of a crime syndicate and does a lot of contract killing, drug trafficking, and so forth on the outside. Interestingly enough, in the book The Death Merchant by Joseph Goulden, at one point Edwin Wilson was going to recruit some Aryan Brotherhood members to kill prosecutor Eugene Proppert, the fellow who'd put him behind bars. Bobby Beausoleil is not the only Aryan Brotherhood connection to the Manson family. Reading again from Helter Skelter. On November 8, 1972, a hiker near the Russian River resort community of Guerneville in Northern California saw a hand protruding from the ground. When police exhumed the body, it was found to be that of a young man wearing the dark blue tunic of a Marine dress uniform. He had been shotgunned and decapitated. The victim was subsequently identified as James T. Willett, W-I-L-L-E-T-T, 26, a former Marine from Los Angeles County. This information appeared on radio and TV newscasts on Friday, November 10th. On Saturday, November 11th, Stockton, California police spotted Willett's station wagon parked in front of a house at 720 West Flora Street. When refused entry to the house, they broke in, arresting two men and two women and confiscating a number of pistols and shotguns. Both women had Manson family X's on their foreheads. They were Priscilla Cooper, 21, and Nancy Pittman, a.k.a. Brenda McCann, 20. A few minutes after police entered the residence, a third female called asking to be picked up and given a ride to the house. The police obliged and also arrested Lynette Frome, a.k.a. Squeaky, 24, ex officio leader of the family in Manson's absence. The two men were Michael Monfort, 24, and James Craig, 33, both state prison escapees wanted for a number of armed robberies in various parts of California. Both had the letters AB tattooed on their left breasts. According to a spokesman for the State Department of Corrections, the initial stood for the Aryan Brotherhood, described as, quote, a cult of white prison inmates dedicated largely to racism, but also involved in hoodlum activities, including murder contracts. While in the house, the police noted freshly turned earth in the basement. After obtaining a search warrant, they began digging, and early the following morning, exhumed the body of Lauren Willett, 19. She had been shot once in the head, her death occurring either late Friday night or early Saturday morning, not long after the identity of her slain husband was revealed on news broadcasts. Questioned by the police, Priscilla Cooper claimed that Lauren Willett had killed herself playing Russian roulette, unquote. Although, like Zero, Mrs. Willett was not able to contradict this story, the Stockton police were far more skeptical than had been LASO. The three women and two men were charged with her murder. They were scheduled to go on trial in May of 1973. On April 2nd, however, four of the five surprised the court by entering guilty pleas. Michael Monfort, who pleaded guilty to the murder of Lauren Willett, was sentenced to 7 years to life in state prison. Superior Court Judge James Darra, D-A-R-R-A-H, also ordered consecutive terms of up to 5 years and 2 years for James Craig, who had pleaded guilty to being an accessory after the fact to murder and to possessing an illegal weapon, i.e. a sawed-off shotgun. Both girls also pleaded guilty to being an accessory after the fact, and both Priscilla Cooper and Nancy Pittman, a.k.a. Brenda, who Manson once indicated to me was his chief candidate for family assassin, were sent to state prison for up to 5 years. Still another family member, Mario Alonzo, a.k.a. Crystal, 21, arrested while trying to smuggle a switchblade knife into the Stockton jail, was subsequently released. As was Squeaky. There being insufficient evidence to link Lynette Frome to Lauren Willett's murder, the charges against her were dropped and she was freed to again assume leadership of the Manson family. Monfort and an accomplice, William Goucher, 23, subsequently pleaded guilty to second-degree murder in the death of James Willett and were sent to state prison for 5 years to life. Craig, who pleaded guilty to being an accessory after the fact to the murder, was given another prison term of up to 5 years. So, Aryan Brotherhood member Michael Monfort, another Nazi connection of the Manson family, and one for whom iron bars did not too much of a prison make.
That's right. Before we talk about Michael Monfort, for those of you out there who are our younger listeners, who perhaps have not been following politics carefully until the recent part of your life in the last few years. Lynette Squeaky Fromm, of course, although famous in a way from the Manson family doings, later went on to gain an even greater degree of notoriety by being somebody who tried to assassinate or appeared to attempt to assassinate Gerald Ford. Interestingly enough, Gerald Ford came to California in 1975, I believe you're right, and had shots taken at him twice, both times by women, one of them by Sarah Jane Moore, a former FBI informant and possible agent, but definitely a former FBI informant.
And possible an active FBI informant at that time.
That's right. And the other by Squeaky Fromm, who, because of her membership in the Manson family, is obviously highly suspect for intense intelligence ties. So Gerald Ford, unlike the Kennedys, managed to survive both of those assassination attempts, as Ronald Reagan survived his assassination attempt at the hand of a well-connected American Nazi, young Hinckley.
With ties to George Bush, former CIA director and vice president.
That's right. But so Squeaky did not retire to a quiet life in the suburbs. Somebody who is, apparently, or did decide to retire to a quiet life in the suburbs.
Or at least a life in the suburbs, although perhaps not a quiet life
right,
in the
not,
suburbs.
Not quiet for everybody, anyway. As Dave referred to, Michael Monfort, for whom iron bars did make a prison, but only for a short time, or comparatively short for somebody convicted of two murders. This is an article from the San Francisco Examiner for May 3rd, 1984. The headline, Mansonite Leaving Prison. Dateline Napa, UPI Wire story. Michael Monfort, once arrested with members of the Manson family and convicted of two murders, was scheduled to be released today from Vacaville State Prison and will live in Napa with a former member of the Manson gang. His parole officer, Gene Moore, said Monfort will live with his wife, Nancy Pittman Monfort, who has been in Napa for 3 years. She married Monfort while he was in Soledad. Monfort has a job waiting in Napa, the officer said, and his parole plan, quote, seems to be in his and the community's best interest, unquote. I imagine there's some people in Napa who might have taken exception to that statement. In 1972, Monfort, age 36, pleaded guilty to the slaying of Lauren Willett and her husband, James. Stockton police arrested him in the presence of Charles Manson followers Lynette Squeaky Fromm, Priscilla Cooper, James Craig, and Nancy Pittman. Stephen Kay, a Los Angeles prosecutor familiar with the Manson case, said Monfort was not a member of the, quote, family, but that Nancy Pittman Monfort was a, quote, hardcore member of the group. So, the Monforts set up Happy Housekeeping in Napa, which, as we referred to earlier, is, among other things, at the northern end of our signal radius here for our broadcast, where they originated, KFJC.
Now, something that we're going to try and get corroboration on, but apparently the editors of the Napa Sentinel have, through a listener who sent us the article we're about to read, informed us that someone who has taken up residence in Napa is none other than Anton LaVey, the same Anton LaVey who was requisitioned by Roman Polanski to act as the technical advisor to Rosemary's Baby, the movie on Satanism and the birth of the Antichrist, the same Anton LaVey who founded what ultimately became the Church of Set, now headed up by Lieutenant Colonel and mind control and intelligence specialist and former Green Beret Michael Aquino, the self-styled second beast of the apocalypse. And interestingly enough, the aforementioned Anton LaVey is a fellow who is heavily involved with Nazi memorabilia, himself a Nazi buff, so to speak, not in the sense of following the machinations of Nazism like we do, but in the sense of enjoying it and espousing at least the trappings, if not the philosophy, of Nazism. He is apparently, and we'll try to get corroboration from this perhaps in a live interview, he is currently holding sway in Napa.
That's right. Much to the distress of the Napa Neighborhood Association, Anton LaVey apparently, and Michael Monfort and Nancy Pittman Monfort for sure, have moved to Napa's sunny and pleasant climes.
And again, in The Ultimate Evil Part 1, and we're going to review some of that material in Part 4, we took a look at the Manson Group as an offshoot of the Process Umbrella Cult, a specifically Nazi-inclined satanic group with apparent intelligence connections. Reading from the Napa Sentinel, from Friday, January 8th of 1988. This is an article by Harry V. Martin of the Sentinel. Its headline, Satanic Worship Site is Located. There was a full moon over Napa on December 4th, and on that night, a group of people gathered at an abandoned stone building on a 7-acre piece of property owned by Silverado Country Club. The stone building, an old abandoned barrel warehouse, is located off Atlas Peak Road near Monticello Road. Again, on Tuesday night, lights could be seen flickering from within the stone structure, a building that has no electrical power that is presently connected. Inside that building, the people had gathered to worship Satan, according to a federal investigator. Note that this is a federal investigator here. On the floor afterwards, there were burned red candles, chicken feathers, and cremated parts of a small animal. Various signs of satanic worship appeared on the walls, the five-pointed pentagram and the words Satan. An old beat-up desk lying on its back may have been an altar. Though red was the dominant color in the debris, some evidence of black also existed. Color is an important factor in determining the type of rites which are practiced. There are also the names of heavy metal rock groups sprayed on the walls. The worshippers were trespassing and do not have the permission of the Silverado Country Club owners to be on the property, but because of the ravine and the eucalyptus trees, it is not easy to detect people in the vicinity or even vehicles parked on the property. Similar worship has occurred on Mount Veder Road, the old Patrick Cemetery along the grove eucalyptus trees near Highway 29, in the hollowed-out points of the Southern Crossing Bridge, in the old Chinese cemetery located by the back of Tula Kai Seminary, and various abandoned houses in the American Canyon and Browns Valley area. A high priestess of the Church of Satan, a young woman, lives in the central area of Napa. The group using the facility on Atlas Peak this week is believed to be the Progress. That's Progress, P-R-O-G-R-E-S-S, according to a federal investigator, a satanic group that came from England in 1968 or 69 and took up residence in San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district. One of the things we're wondering is whether this Progress is actually the Process, perhaps operating under a different name or an offshoot group of it. The Process, again, the satanic and Nazi cult of which the Manson and Son of Sam groups were offshoots, and that specifically was from England, and it fits this description to a T.
I was going to say, since the description fits so closely, we may only be dealing with a reporter's error in that case. It's very similar.
Skipping down in the article, the police cannot interfere with the satanic rites unless animals are killed or abused, or if drugs are used, or if children are abused, or if there was sexual abuse. There is a lot of sexual abuse with small kids, Pearsall said in an interview last year. This is a Napa policeman. But unfortunately, their stories cannot be verified and don't usually come to light until 3 or 4 years later. Youngsters are recruited, unquote, or influenced to join in the ceremonies. The younger the children, the more innocent they are in participating in the ceremony. 2-, 3-, or 4-year-olds. Law enforcement officials believe some missing children may be associated with satanic worship. The old stone building on Atlas Peak Road has evidence that a red ritual was celebrated there very recently during the full moon. The evidence, according to investigators, is fresh. The investigators have no jurisdiction in Napa, but if certain types of people are involved, they would eventually have a jurisdiction. They would not be able to make an arrest, but would have to notify local law enforcement agencies of the incident. Because satanic worship per se is not illegal, prosecution would be difficult unless direct evidence of illegal acts are obtained at the scene during the rite. Devil worshippers are very cautious and select time and place to assure secrecy. Take note of the following passage very closely. The investigating authorities believe that the satanic worshippers may also be linked to neo-Nazis. This belief is partially predicated on the shape of the S's made in the writing of No Trespassing and Satan with their slashing marks. So again, one wonders if perhaps the process or the progress here is in fact the process, and if the Manson crew, with all of their Nazi and intelligence connections, has perhaps set up shop in Napa. We're going to be coming back to the Napa connection, the process or progress, and the Manson family as a Nazi satanic and intelligence front in our next broadcast on the subject.
But for tonight, that's just about enough cheer and joy and goodwill for us to spread among the populace. With that, we are going to be taking off. We are going to be coming back with more next week. We will be finishing up this, another major portion of this series.